Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. Today we're completing an amazing series called Rest in Christ. Our topic today, ultimate rest. But if you've missed any in this series, please go back to our website, hopetv.org/hopeSS, and you can watch the entire series. It has been such a blessing, and today's study will be a blessing too. So welcome to Hope Sabbath School. Welcome to the team. What a series this has been. I've really been blessed through a study of God's Word. We're glad. Notice we've just got five here in the studio following restrictions, but we have some remote team members joining us. We want to welcome Addison. Good to see you, Addison. Glad you're with us today. Amy, good to see you. Glad you're with us. And Ranella, good to see you back with the team. Glad you're with us too. It's going to be a great study, and before we go into our study, I just want to share some greetings from some Hope Sabbath School members around the world. Itesica writes from St. Eustatius. Somebody tell me, where is St. Eustatius, also called Statia for short? Well, it is a Dutch island in the Caribbean. And Itesica writes and says, I've watched Hope Sabbath School for a number of years now, which comes on here in St. Eustatius every Sabbath morning. Somebody say amen. Amen. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed the discussions and the songs. Continue this work that God has called you to proclaim to a dying world. Thank you. May God bless your ministry tremendously. Well, Itesica, thanks for writing. We heard from St. Eustatius earlier in this series. It's great to know we have Hope Sabbath School members all around the world. Well, Antoinette writes to us from Canada. She is a Jamaican living in Canada. That's a change of temperature, isn't it?
Yes.
She's actually in Newfoundland, Canada. So that is a big change in temperature. Hello, Hope Sabbath School.
Hello.
Got a wave. I want to say thank you for helping me understand the Bible better, for increasing my desire for God's Word. You and the team feel like my spiritual family, and I hope heaven will continue to give you wisdom, knowledge, and understanding as we dig deeper into the Word of God. Amen? It's my desire. Listen to this. This is Antoinette in Newfoundland, Canada. It is my desire to hunger and thirst to hear and do the will of God.
Amen. Amen.
May God bless you all in this ministry. I would like to give to this ministry, so please share your giving platform. Well, Antoinette and everyone, you just need to go to hopetv.org/donate, and you can donate right there. But I just want to say to you that you as Hope Sabbath School members around the world are as much part of the team as us. Isn't that right? Yes. We're blessed when you write your testimony to us. Well, here's a testimony. It's a donor couple in South Africa. And here's what they write. We managed in 2014 to buy a large TV screen just for the reason of watching Hope Sabbath School.
Amen.
And other broadcasts on the Hope Channel. We like the action, the feedback, the testimonies of the team. And we hope the class will be back to 12 someday. Well, to the donor couple, I know we're only five here, but we do have three more joining us remotely. So we are up to eight. We're missing Addison singing. Addison, can you wave? Would you wave? They said they're missing you sing. Well, we don't sing in the studio anymore, but Addison, you can sing remotely. Just don't turn your microphone on, okay? They're missing you. We love that we are partaking of testimonies and enjoying your experience. May God lead and bless you until Jesus returns. We would like to send a donation for God's work and a donation of $1,000 from South Africa. They said the exchange rate's really poor between the South African rand and the U.S. dollar, and still a donation to bless God's work. Amen?
Amen.
God bless you in return, donor couple in South Africa. You know, we don't read people's names. We're not promoting people. But we ought to honor God, right?
Amen.
When people sacrifice and are part of this mission. Thank you so much. One last note. Well, I guess I have two. Here's one from a Zimbabwean family in Australia. We are all over the world. We look forward to Hope Sabbath School every Friday. Myself, writes Webson, the father, and my two daughters, Shamiso, age 11, and Hannah, age 9, and my mother of 75 years, we feel blessed from each presentation. May the Lord continue to pour His wisdom upon each team member. Even though my mother has limited English understanding, she speaks Shona, she's always nodding and saying, Amen. We live in Perth, Australia, although we're originally from Zimbabwe. Each passing day is a step closer to the coming of Jesus.
Amen.
I just had to bounce a little when I read that, because that's good news, isn't it?
It is.
Yes.
Webson, thanks for writing to us all the way from Australia. Long way from home, but soon we're all going to be together in our heavenly home. One last note from Doreen in Jamaica. We have a lot of Hope Sabbath School members there. I'm a regular watcher of Hope Sabbath School and a member of an Adventist church here in Jamaica. I want you to know lots of times I don't understand the weekly Bible study, and your program helps me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Please keep up the good work and your team, and God bless you always. Well, Doreen, God bless you too. And it's just wonderful to be part of a worldwide Hope Sabbath School family. Mm. Well, before we sing our theme song, don't forget we've been offering a gift during this series. You can get a digital copy of the theme song, Matthew 11, 28 to 30, Beautiful Words of Jesus, Rest for Your Souls, and 11 other scripture songs. You can download 12 songs as a gift from Hope Sabbath School. All you have to do is go to our website, hopetv.org/hopeSS. Click on Get Free Gift. They said, make it simple, Get Free Gift. And you'll get a link, download the songs. Right now, I hope you've learned our theme song. Let's sing it together. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we've just heard the word of Jesus, that you may find rest for your souls. And that's our prayer today in our Hope Sabbath School study, as we study about ultimate rest. Mm. Thank you for that blessed assurance of ultimate rest in you. But thank you that we can experience rest in Christ even today. May we sense your Holy Spirit with us as we study. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we're going to start our study in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 1. I'm going to ask one of our remote team members, Ranella, if you could read for us Revelation chapter 1, verses 1 and 2.
Okay, I'll be reading from the New International Version, Revelation chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw, that is, the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ.
So where was John when he received this revelation that Ranella just read about?
Do we know? Mm-hmm.
Does it tell us in the book?
I believe so.
Mm-hmm. Haiti says, I think it does somewhere. Maybe it's down in verse 9. It says, I was on Patmos, but most of us today, we don't have any ideas. Is that like Tahiti or Corfu or some fancy resort island? Amy, do you know anything about this place called Patmos?
I don't think it's a place any of us would want to go on vacation. He was actually in prison.
So I don't know, in different countries around the world, I grew up in the UK, I don't know if we had a prison island there. Napoleon was put on a prison island, wasn't he? What was that called, Jason? Do you remember?
St. Helena.
St. Helena. Okay, I know in the U.S. there's a rock called Alcatraz. That was a prison island. Patmos was a prison island. But isn't it amazing that even if they lock you up on an island, that God can still use you to do a great work?
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And God gives a revelation to John on that island. Well, if we were to summarize that revelation in just a few sentences, what would the summary be? Well, let's read three short passages, and then you help me summarize it, will you? Haiti, would you start in Revelation 1? Verses 9 through 19. And then, Amy, sure. I'm going to have you read chapter 21, verses 1 to 5. And then I'm going to ask Stephanie if you'd read chapter 22, 1 to 5. I hope I can remember that order, because we're not going to pause between. We'll just hear those three and then summarize in a sentence or two. What is the message of Revelation?
Haiti? All right. I will be reading from the New King James Version, Revelation 1, verses 9 through 19. And it says, I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. Write the things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which will take place after this.
Well, that's powerful, just that starting part. But we're going to go, Amy, over to chapter 21 and read a closing part of the Revelation, verses 1 through 5.
I'll be reading from New King James Version, Revelation 21, verses 1 through 5, and it says, "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away.' Then he who sat on the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And he said to me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.'"
And then, Stephanie, if you could read chapter 22, 1 to 5. I'm just about to use my favorite Hebrew word here.
Go ahead.
I want you to think, what must be going through this aged apostle's mind as he's receiving this revelation, as Amy said, on a prison island? Let's hear this last part of the revelation.
And the New King James Version says, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its streets and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever."
Why do you think that message was so precious to this person cast onto a prison island? Daisy?
He wasn't in a comfortable position. He was struggling. He was in pain. It wasn't the best place to be. So having that kind of message to say that there's better things coming ahead, I'm sure that was good news for him.
All right. Anybody else? What do you think, Addison, that was such a precious message to John the Apostle?
It was such a dark time in his life. Here he's imprisoned on this island in the Mediterranean. And to get this message, beginning in Revelation and through the entire book as we read, that just filled him with not just a glimmer of hope, but with an insurmountable amount of hope and joy as he could see the light at the end of this dark tunnel.
You know, it's a good thing to, you talked about all the losses he's experienced. I think he's the last one.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Wow.
Now, that doesn't mean he's the only follower of Jesus, but of all of the disciples, you know, Jesus has gone to heaven, the disciple, here he is, and he's on a desolate island. But what is the message of the book of Revelation? Who'd be willing to summarize it in just one sentence? Anybody? Remote or here in the studio? One sentence. Jason.
Jesus loves us and he's coming again.
Jesus loves us and he's coming again? Anybody else? Yes, Daisy?
There's going to be an end to the suffering that we're going through.
Yes. You read the book of Revelation, and I'll come to Amy. It's a challenging journey, mm-hmm. but there is going to come an end to this suffering and
pain and suffering.
And pain. And that's when God will make all things new, right? Yes, mm-hmm. Yes, Amy.
Very simple. Jesus wins.
Amen.
That's it.
You know, I heard a preacher say that, "I read the end of the book, Jesus wins." We might add a couple of extra words. Jesus wins and
We're saved.
Ranella, could we add any word to that that would bring hope to us today? Jesus wins, and?
And we get to be with him in the end.
That's it, right? We get to be with him when he makes all things new. Jesus wins, we get to be with him. Now, as John is getting this revelation, there must have been promises of Jesus that he'd hidden in his heart, Haiti, that because he'd been with Jesus from the beginning, right? And now Jesus is giving him a revelation. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. What promises has he thought about? This is going to be a hard time, but Jesus wins and we get to be with him. What promises may have come to his mind that he'd heard during the ministry of Jesus, do you think?
I think he would be thinking of the Beatitudes.
Okay.
Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted.
Oh, okay.
In the time and place that he was in and having lost many friends.
And blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth, right? Mm-hmm. Blessed are the pure in heart, they shall see God.
Yes.
So, okay, anyone else? What other promises? Stephanie?
I was thinking of John 14:27. Could I read that?
Sure, let's turn to it. John 14:27. I'm sure he went over these words of Jesus many times. How does that read in your Bible?
The New King James Version says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid."
Okay. John 14:27. Billy?
Yeah, we don't have to read it, but I think in the Great Commission in Matthew 28:20, in the last part just says, "Behold, I'm with you always.
Even to
the end of the age." And you can see even in the beginning that Jesus was making himself among the churches, among the stars or the lamps. And that was the message that he was trying to tell. I'm with you.
Beautiful, beautiful. Jason.
The first part of the chapter that Stephanie read, John 14:1-3.
All right. And that's where he promises. Would you like to read that for us?
Sure.
John 14:1-3. And Addison, I see your hand raised after this.
The New King James Version says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also."
Amen. Now, you've read the book of Revelation. Keep your hand raised, Addison. I'll be right with you. You've read the book of Revelation. It does talk about the return of Jesus, yes or no?
Yes.
Absolutely. Yes. He comes with clouds and every eye will see him. And then in chapter 19, you know, he comes and what is it on King of Kings, Lord of Lords? I mean, the whole book of Revelation, "Behold, I come quickly." So, yes, another great promise. Addison.
Well, just a little later, same chapter, John 14:18. We don't have to read it necessarily, but it says, "I will not," in my Bible, New King James, it says, "I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." In some translations, it says, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." Beautiful thing. He's with us through the presence of his Spirit. The Spirit was poured out at Pentecost. But then he says, it's a double meaning. Literally, "I'm coming back. You will not be orphans for eternity.
Beautiful.
I will come back."
And there is one other which ties in with something Daisy said earlier about it's not going to be easy. John 16:33, "In this world you will have trial, tribulation, but be of good cheer."
I have overcome.
Jesus wins, Ranella. Jesus wins. "I have overcome the world." So here's an amazing revelation that comes to John, and some of us might say, "I need to study the book of Revelation." In fact, doesn't it say at the beginning, "Blessed is the one who hears and the one who reads, for the time is at hand," and does the things that are written here, right? Now, the apostles had already been shown, before Revelation was written, which is speaking about the ultimate rest, they'd already been shown some things about what must come to pass. What chapter in the Gospels has so much information about what's going to happen in the future? Jason?
Matthew 24.
Matthew 24. Let's turn there.
Jesus talks a lot about
the end of time, and he gives kind of a little bit of a timeline, if you will, of what's going to happen up to when he returns.
Well, let's turn there, and if you could read for us from Matthew 24, verses 3 through 8. Matthew 24, 3 through 8. And just remember, while we're reading the scripture, someone, maybe you watching Hope Sabbath School today, may be hearing this for the very first time. Mm-hmm. How was Jesus able to prophesy? We've learned this from previous studies, mm-hmm. about things that have not yet happened. Was it just an educated guess? Mm-mm. Anybody? Amy, how was he able to speak of things that had not yet happened?
I believe he was part of the plan. Even before sin began, he was part of the plan. He knew what creation was. He knew what God had intended our relationship with him to be. We were intended to live together. And he trusted in his Father and knew that the plan was to restore that and to restore us to him.
And doesn't it say, I am the Lord God, Isaiah 46, 9 and 10, knowing the end from the beginning, right? There's no God like me, knowing the end from the beginning. And surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he reveals it to his servants, the prophets, right? So God is able to tell us what's going to happen in the future. Let's see what some of those things are, Jason, in Matthew 24, verses 3 through 8.
All right, the New King James Version says, Matthew 24, verses 3 through 8. Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows.
Hmm. Now, someone may say, well, there have been earthquakes and famines and wars throughout the ages, and that's certainly true. But we're going to see an escalation. Mm-hmm. But there are some other signs, too. Daisy, could you read on for us in the same chapter 24, verses 9 through 13?
I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. Then you will be arrested and persecuted and killed. You will be hated all over the world because you are my followers. And many will turn away from me and betray and hate each other. Many false prophets will appear and will deceive many people. Sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved.
Amen.
Amy, have you ever lived in a part of the world where people were persecuted for being followers of Jesus?
Yes, I have. It's a very real thing. Mm. But the amazing thing is that God gives you the strength to get through it.
All right. And what about, here's a question for you, Ranella. We were just reading here. Have you lived in a place where the love of many has grown cold?
Yeah, you know, I think when we look all around us and we just see all of the things that are in the news and even right here locally, sometimes I have to kind of stop watching the news sometimes because you just see these heinous acts where people are just, the love of many have grown cold and you realize how much as we're coming towards the end of these times, people are just living out whatever impulses they have, and God's love is just not seen as much in this world. Mm-hmm.
Now, there is one final sign, and then I want to come back to what it means, the one who endures to the end. Haiti, could you read verse 14 for us, Matthew 24?
Yes.
And by the way, I have a red letter edition in my Bible. That means those are all the words of Jesus, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So this is really a sacred revelation. It's kind of an advanced revelation to the book of Revelation, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Verse 14.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version, and it says, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come.
So what is the most significant indicator that we're almost home?
Gospel. The spreading what of is the it? Gospel.
The spreading of the gospel. Mm-hmm. And so everything that's happening, even with technology, yes. that knowledge increases, mm-hmm. people run to and fro. You know, we run to and fro now on Zoom. If you don't know what Zoom is, ask your grandchildren, right? or your children. We run to and fro, and the ability to communicate, unfortunately, evil as well as good, has accelerated exponentially. Mm-hmm. But we are seeing the gospel going to the whole world, and Hope Sabbath School is part of that miracle.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen? I hope there's thousands of you around the world saying, Amen, wherever you are. Yes, because that's part of the great miracle. Now, as we're seeing what Jesus prophesied and what the book of Revelation foretells happening around us, explain to me the meaning of verse 13 again. He who endures to the end shall be saved. Jason, help us with that. We know we're not saved by enduring. We're saved by God's grace through faith, right? Through that saving relationship with Jesus. And yet, we need to choose to hold on and let Him hold on to us. Talk to me about this idea of endurance.
Sure. So enduring is like a process. It makes me think of like working out or for a marathon, training for a big race. You don't do it all at once. And also, a lot of times you don't even do it by yourself. There's other people who help you, who assist you. And so this idea of enduring, this isn't something a person is doing by themselves. It's basically as long as you are willing to let God guide you through the process, He's the one who will take you through. And so endurance means that there will be some difficulties, there will be some challenges, you're going to face obstacles, but as you let Jesus hold you and carry you, He will take you through these experiences to get you to the end.
Mm-hmm. You know, while you were reading that, talking about endurance, another text flashed into my mind. And then I'll come, Ranella and Daisy, you had your hands raised. Do you ever have that happen when you're in a study? Another Bible text jumps into your mind, mm-hmm. and I can only assume the Holy Spirit wants us to read it. Stephanie, if you could read Revelation 14 and verse 12, because Jason was talking about endurance. The one who endures to the end will be saved. And then, Ranella, I'll come to your point. But apparently the Lord wants us to hear this too. And I think this also is in the Revelation, right? Revelation 14, verse 12.
Verse 12. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus.
Now that word patience can be translated endurance. Mm-hmm. It's not patient like, well, I'm feeling patient. No, it's holding fast. Mm-hmm. It's pressing on.
Amidst the challenges.
And what were the identifying characteristics of the saints who endure?
Keep the commandments of God.
Keep the commandments of God.
And the faith of Jesus.
And the faith of Jesus. There is a connection to Jesus that is evidenced in a life of obedience.
Right.
Yes. Not trying to earn your way to heaven. Mm-hmm. Jesus is the way to heaven, but there's evidence in the life, in this journey Jesus spoke about. Yes, Ranella.
Yeah, I wanted to kind of go off of what you just shared and what Jason shared about Matthew 24:13, he who stands to the end will be saved. Because if you look at the verse just before it in verse 12, it says, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. And just in that context, the love of many will grow cold, but those who continue to love, those who continue to show the gospel as a witness to all nations, those who continue to obey the commandments of God, which at their essence is love, those are the ones who will be saved. When Jesus says, I never knew you, it was those who didn't show those acts of love. And the ones who said, we didn't know what we did. He said, you clothed the hungry, you visited me in prison. It's that those acts of love, even though the world is growing colder and colder, God's followers' love is growing stronger and stronger all the way till the end.
Beautiful. And back to what Billy said, Jesus says, I will never leave you or forsake you. So this experience of enduring is enduring with Christ.
Yes.
As Ranella said, reflecting the work of Christ, the love of Christ. But again, I'm not earning my way to heaven by doing those things, but I have that living connection to the end, right? Mm-hmm. Which is either until he comes in glory or until I fall asleep mm-hmm. in death. Bible calls mm-hmm. death a sleep. Mm-hmm. And then I'll hear, awake, you who sleep in the dust.
Amen.
The resurrection day, right? Yeah. Daisy.
Yeah, I was going off on what you said about endurance, and the picture that came to my mind was if you're in a river that's running downstream and you're trying to go upstream. It's like when you're living in the world where evil has become a norm and everybody's doing terrible things, but you're trying to live against that kind of lifestyle. That's where you have to endure, otherwise you get blown or flushed down with everybody else. So endurance is trying to go in against what everybody is doing. Mm. Mm.
Endurance, that's enter by the narrow gate, mm-hmm. for broad is the gate and wide is the path that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in there. But narrow is the gate and straight the path that leads to life. Yes. And few there be that go in thereat. Jesus speaking. Well, we've alluded to the fact that the prediction, many things, difficult things are going to happen, but the gospel will go to the whole world, and then the end will come. We're not just supposed to sit around and wait for that commission to be fulfilled, right? Right. We're actually given that commission. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Billy, you alluded to it in the last part of the commission, but could you read for us from Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, which will end with the phrase that you quoted. Mm-hmm. Having given, said, all authority is given to me on heaven and earth, mm-hmm. what does Jesus say to his followers?
Sure, and I'll be reading from the NIV. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.
Everything I've commanded you, which would include what? What were some things Jesus taught? Well, help me out, someone. Amy, I need help. Nobody knows what Jesus taught here. What are some things Jesus taught?
He taught us to love our neighbors as ourselves.
Okay. He also taught us to love God with all of our heart, repeating from Deuteronomy. Ranella, what else did Jesus teach?
He taught us in the Beatitudes how to treat people, how to treat those who persecute us, how to treat people with love.
All right. Love your enemies even. Bless those who curse you. Jason, there's other things he taught.
He taught us to rest on God's special day, the Sabbath, to take one day out of the week to rest.
He did that by his example, didn't he? Luke 4:16. What else did he teach us? You quoted John 14. What did he teach us?
He taught us that he's also coming back.
He's coming back again. I mean, there's a lot of things that Jesus taught, right? A lot of practical instruction. He also taught us what happens when we die. That's right. Mm-hmm. He said, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I'm going to go and wake him up. So, a lot of things. We're told that we should teach people everything that Jesus taught and make disciples. Addison, yes. could you give me a definition of a disciple? What does it mean to make a disciple? And it's not a disciple of Addison, but a disciple of Jesus. What does that mean?
Well, a disciple, that word, I think of Mark chapter 1 when Jesus went by the seaside and he saw Peter and Andrew, his brother, and he said, follow me. He said, he called them to follow him. So it's following Jesus, but even more than that, disciple, I hear the word surrender, surrendering to Jesus every day and saying, Lord, throw me out into the harvest. Luke 10 verse 2, the harvest is great, but the laborers are few.
Okay.
So send me out to do your work.
All right. So following Jesus, but also joining Jesus in his work, a disciple. Anyone want to add to that? Make a disciple. Yes, Stephanie?
I think of a learner. Someone who continues to learn.
It's the old English. I don't know if they use this in your country, but we have an apprentice mm-hmm. that joins herself or joins himself to a skilled craftsman or craftswoman, and they learn, right? That's a disciple. But I like what Addison said. It's going beyond just watching, but doing, right. And doing that journey with Jesus. Mm-hmm. Go and make disciples of all nations. Now, if the book of Revelation was never written, if John died before he got to the island, you know, shipwreck, died, would we have enough information in the Gospels to be able to share a saving message with the world?
Absolutely.
What's the answer?
Yes.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So then I have to ask myself, well, what was special that the Holy Spirit said, John? Well, actually, Jesus gave the revelation by the Holy Spirit, right?
Yeah.
I've got another message, additional revelation for you that you haven't heard yet. Well, let's go to at least one important part of that in Revelation 14. Revelation 14. Stephanie, if you could read for us verses 6 and 7. There are some messengers crying out with a loud voice. Now, that must tell us something, right? If someone comes and shouts to you with a loud voice, what's your reaction? You say, well, it depends on the tone of their voice, I suppose. But let's say they're not yelling, but it's just loud. Mm. What would you get from that?
You listen. Pay attention.
This is important.
Urgency. Mm-hmm.
Urgent. This is urgent, okay? So crying with a loud voice, Revelation 14, verses 6 and 7.
And the New King James Version says, "Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea, and springs of water."
Urgent message. Right before Jesus comes, you keep reading on in Revelation, he's going to come with clouds and every eye is going to see him. Mm-hmm. What impacts you about this message? Is it anything different from what Jesus had revealed in the Gospels? Haiti?
Well, to me personally, I just think we're living in a world where people have forgotten that we have a creator. Mm-hmm. And many people mm-hmm. are turning away from God and just worshiping themselves, or worshiping nature sometimes, and the universe, people, you'll hear them say that a lot, but not recognizing that there's this one supreme authority who made us.
And that is the message of the entire Bible.
Yeah.
That we have mm-hmm. a creator. So you would say this is a timely message.
Yes.
This whole evolutionary theory comes up just in the 19th century, right? Mm-hmm. And some of the brightest minds in the world have devoted themselves to developing it. I remember meeting an evolutionary scientist one time, and he was very honest, very bright. Please don't think that these people are not clever. Absolutely. Women and men of great intellect. Mm-hmm. He said, this is the best explanation we can find if we start with the premise that there is no God. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You've got to explain this somehow, right? Alien spaceship? This is the best explanation. But that's the danger, because the Bible starts with, in the beginning, God.
That's right.
Right? So Haiti's saying, no, this is a timely message for the end time, 2,000 years after the Gospels were written, saying, please remember that there is a creator God and worship him. What else makes this message very timely? Daisy?
I like that, because we're at a time where, and the prophecy already told us that knowledge has increased and men are going back and forth. If we look at how things have advanced over the last few years, like, you know, technology, the things that people are creating, it gets to a point where, like you said, they forget that there's an actual supreme God that created all these things or gave us the ability to learn these things, and then we start to put confidence in ourselves or in science and say, well, science has given us all of this. But it's not just, yes, to some extent, but it's a bigger picture where there is a God who created everything, gave us the wisdom that we even have to even discover these things. So it's reminding us to go back and remember who created the world to begin with.
All right. Why else is this such a timely message? Anyone? Billy.
Yeah, I think going back, I believe Matthew 25, talking about, you know, the love of many will grow cold. So this Revelation 14 is pointing us to God, who is the very definition of love. And I remember there was a time, just a testimony that, you know, I was walking down the street and there was a homeless person who was bleeding. And by the time I got there, he told me that he's been bleeding for a long time. And I was shocked that people saw this man bleeding by the side of the road and he didn't do anything. And I was actually the first one to call the police and ask them to come pick this man up. And while I was doing that, there was another person who came behind me saying that, oh yeah, I was there 30 minutes before and I saw him bleeding, but I asked him, you didn't do anything? So it's just amazing that people, when they stop looking at God, they rob themselves of that empathy that they should mm-hmm. have towards other people.
So Matthew 24:12, the love of many will grow cold, was actually fulfilled in that scenario.
Exactly.
I think there's another reason why this is such a timely message, and it's related to a certain time that wasn't back when Jesus was okay. teaching. Jason?
So in verse 7, it references the hour of his judgment has mm-hmm. come. Mm-hmm. So clearly there's something about this moment that's happening in relationship to what God is doing.
Mm-hmm. The Bible is clear that not everyone will be saved. Mm-hmm. How many people does God want to be saved?
All. Everyone.
Everyone. Yep. Not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. Not all will be saved. So how is that determination made? There is a judgment.
That's right.
The Bible says, Jesus says, all judgment is given to the Son. Now, that's good news. That means the one who loved you enough to lay down his life for you mm-hmm. is also the one who will determine your destiny. Someone ought to say amen.
Amen.
Because he's on your side.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
But there is a judgment. Mm-hmm. And that judgment is before he returns in glory. Mm-hmm. And this angel's message says, the hour of his judgment has come. Well, Jason, if you could read on in Revelation 14, verses 7 through 11, because it speaks about the judgment in the context of forces that are in opposition to God.
I have the New King James Version here, Revelation chapter 14, verses 7 through 11, saying with a loud voice, "Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and springs of water." And another angel followed, saying, "Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she has made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication." Then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If anyone worships the beast and his image, and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name."
Mm. Now, if you just read that one portion of Scripture, you could get a very distorted picture of God.
Uh-huh. Mm.
Jesus said, God so loved the world.
That's right.
Right? Mm. And he wants us to find rest for our souls. That's yes. our theme song.
That's right. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Why do the wicked find no rest day or night? Help me with that, someone. Amy? They find no rest day or night. Why?
This is a confusing text, and I think sometimes this is where we get the misteaching about eternal hellfire, because there is no rest day and night. But, you know, if I think back to the story of Jonah, you know, he was trying to run away from what God was calling him to do, running away from the conscience that God had given him. And I think that that's the same with these wicked people, is that there is no rest day or night during this time of judgment, because they know that they have done wrong. Mm-hmm. And their conscience, the Holy Spirit, is still working on them. You know, God is still persevering with them, and they just don't have rest. They don't experience peace.
And that's a really important point, because to those who are in confusion, Revelation 18, the call comes, come out of her, my people, yes. Right? Lest you partake of her plagues and share in her sins. Mm-hmm. So, but there's one reason why they have no rest. And what is it? What have we learned from this entire series? Rest
in Jesus.
Is found in Christ.
Rest is found in Christ.
It's only found in Christ.
They're looking in the wrong places and wrong things.
It's only found in Christ now and ultimately. Yeah. Yeah. In our relationship with Christ, that's where our rest is found. Now, we know that the challenges are going to be difficult, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We spoke about that earlier, that we will face challenges. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, it speaks there about the challenges that some of God's people faced through the ages. Now, not all of them were fed to lions, not all of them were stoned or cut in two, but they all faced opposition. And Daisy, could you read for us in Hebrews 11, verses 13 through 16, what lesson can we learn from the faithful women of God, the faithful men of God, so that we can experience rest in Christ even in the midst of the turbulent last days.
Yes.
Let's see what we can learn.
All right, I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. All these people died still believing what God had promised them. They did not receive what was promised, but they saw it all from a distance and welcomed it. They agreed that they were foreigners and nomads here on earth. Obviously, people who say such things are looking forward to a country they can call their own. Mm-hmm. If they had longed for the country they came from, they could have gone back. Mm. But they were looking for a better place, a heavenly homeland. Mm. That is why God is not ashamed to be called their God. For he has prepared a city for them. Mm.
So what's the lesson? Renella, going through tough times, like women and men of God down through the ages, even before Christ came, they look forward to Messiah. Since then, we look back and see what Jesus has done for us. Turbulent times Jesus prophesied would happen before he returns. Mm-hmm. What's the lesson for us in the midst of the times in which we live?
Yeah, it's very obvious in these verses that their minds were on something better. Their minds were not here on earth. Mm. And many times when you're going through tough situations, whether it's spiritually or just here on this earth, our minds tend to focus on what's happening here and now and the reality of it right now. But God calls us to look at a future time, not just heaven, but looking outside of our circumstance right now to what God can do and what he's promised us in the future. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, while Renella was speaking, the Spirit of God said, here's another verse, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And Jason, I'm going to ask you to read that because it ties in with what we need to be doing. And then I see a couple of hands raised as we close. What counsel does the author of Hebrews give us? We're facing challenging times, but we can have rest in Christ, not only today, but ultimate rest.
Mm-hmm. The New King James Version says in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Mm. Or to quote Renella, Jesus wins. Jesus wins. Mm. And I'm going to keep my eyes fixed on him. Mm. Yes, Addison.
Every time I hear that phrase, verse 2 in particular, I think of that hymn. It says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Mm-hmm. Look full into his wonderful face, and the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And so we look to Jesus today. We can find rest in him,
But then we can have the hope of ultimate rest to be in his presence for all of eternity.
Yes. So keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus reframes our reality. Right?
Yeah.
We're not just focusing on all the challenges around us. We're focusing on him and experiencing rest in the midst of the conflict. Takeaway lesson. One sentence. Takeaway lesson. Haiti?
Just focus on Jesus. You know, like he says, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things shall be added unto thee.
All right. Takeaway lesson. Amy?
For me, it's a message of hope. That judgment is a message of hope. At some point soon, Jesus is going to right all of the wrongs that we have ever suffered.
Amen. Stephanie? Takeaway message.
Focus on the Savior and not the situation.
Focus on the Savior and not the situation. Oh, my friends, we know difficult times are coming. In fact, you say, Pastor Derek, where do you live? The difficult times are already here. We're living in the midst of a pandemic, economic crisis. People are starving. There are wars all around us. The good news is that the gospel of the kingdom is going to the ends of the earth. And the Bible says when that mission is accomplished, the end will come.
Amen.
And that's not an end like a nuclear holocaust end. That's not we all die and it's all over. That is the end that Jesus prophesied. He says, I will come and I will receive you to myself. That where I am, there you may be also. That's our blessed hope. No, he is our blessed hope. Eternal rest. That's in him. Yes. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you so much for the not just the promise of ultimate rest, but the assurance of ultimate rest through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank you for the revelation that you've given us. May we be diligent not only to study your words, but to believe them. And may we then reveal the immeasurable, unfailing love of God to those who still need to know that there is a God who loves them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, thanks for joining us for Hope Sabbath School. What a series, Rest in Christ. May you experience that in your life today. Don't keep it to yourself. Go out and be a blessing to those around you.